The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, welcome back, and it's Deanne on the Late Night with Deanne, and guess what, folks? I've been up for the whole broadcast. I didn't snore off like last week. I made it going into the last hour here, and we're here with John Alastasis, and we're talking about, the situation with the judicial process, lawyers, judges, police, the civil so-called servants. You know, they have gone amok. They get salaries, they get paid, and something happens when you try to connect with them. Nothing. A lot of times, I would say 40%, I'm being really liberal, 40% of the calls that are made to the government basically fall on mute ears. Maybe numbers higher than that, but I'm just giving you a good estimate. There's a lot of very good, viable people out there that have cases that need to be heard and investigated, and it goes nowhere. And the same thing with lawyers right now. Lawyers are working in tears. You have lawyers out there that make claims that they'll do this and that and the other, but they choose their cases wisely, and everybody isn't represented. And the thing is that people have good cases, and they basically go nowhere. Now, I had a caller just before we went to the break, and again, I will give him a call if he left his number. The thing is that if the person is running in Zion is for the measure of clearing up the corruption, then, hey, I'm gung-ho. I'm right behind him, because the bottom line is I am opposed to this corruption that has led to this nightmare here in this country. It's opposed to our Constitution, taking away our laws, and basically have caused and infringed on our rights and the judicial process. John, do you have anything to say here?
Well, I had one open statement that I didn't finish there. When we went to break there that one time, I was talking about that they had already set up alcohol plants for turning corn into methanol, and that they actually had all these plants set up in the 70s for turnkey operations. They never opened to one of them. And so now we have a situation where we don't have oil again, and it's being shoved down our throats. And at the same time, they're building 70 new methane plants now. Now, first off, we had some built that we just shut the doors on. I can't believe that they just can't go and turn those keys open and maybe reopen the doors. They might have to, get a few things running and whatnot to get them up and operable, but maybe they're already all built. We don't have to spend any money. But again, here you have a situation of a hoax. Number one, you can take a pellet burner that burns wood pellets and put in your house, and they're quite efficient. But a ton of wood pellets is approximately $250. Well, corn is like 35-40% hotter than wood pellets if you burn just kernel corn. And you need a little better burner because the pan that burns that wood won't take the heat of the corn burners. You need a little heavier pan, but that's not a hard fix. That's a simple, cheap fix. And again, right now, without turning any more wheels, you don't need any processing plant. Basically, before this happened, you could buy a bag of corn or a ton of corn for approximately $100, $110. It used to actually be $80, $90. and burn that, and actually cut your you would have a 30-45% better efficiency on your heat bill, and the price of the raw materials was almost like less than half. And but now they're jumping corn up to the $175-$180 mark, which is still cheaper because wood is $250 plus wood is not the 35-40% higher in energy per unit. So anyhow, here we have they're going to put up new plants. They're spending the money supposedly, but again, it's an orchestration by the oil companies to show that it really doesn't. It's not productive, and they're spending the money and turning the wheels and supposedly meeting the EPA's agenda of freer energy and less oil and all that kind of stuff. But again, they've got us blind, and they're not doing it. And just as I pointed out on Truth Radio the other day, this last couple days I've been watching in the Northeast, we have a terrifically dry air period. It was like 7 below zero, and the dew point was minus 11 below zero, so the air was really dry. Well, the next day, in a 10-mile stretch, I'm going to say I could identify approximately 100 different planes putting down chemtrails, and they had predicted that there was going to be a cloud bank coming into our area that day. Well, the sky stayed beautifully blue, except for the chemtrail, the narrow trails, but since there was no moisture for them to pick up on, they dispersed after a while. And but here's 100 planes, and I looked up in the information of the almanac that showed that like a 737 burns 354 or 57 gallons of fuel per hour, and the bigger planes burn three times that amount of fuel. And so here we have a situation of 100 planes in my little 10-mile stretch burning 300 to 1,000 gallons of fuel per hour, probably for an 8- or 10-hour day. Now, when I got up this morning, there was already 6 chemtrails in the air, and there was already, I think I counted 4 planes within a 15-minute period. So we almost had 10 chemtrails before 6:30 in the morning, or right at 6:30 in the morning. So how many hours a day are these planes running? And they're saying we have a fuel shortage, and yet there's supposedly 6,000 planes running, these tanker planes running, putting chemtrails down all the time, and Mr. Bush wanted more. I contend that we really don't have the big fuel shortage they're saying we have. And, in the fact that building the methanol plants is foolishness compared to just burning them in a pellet burner. You could not have the fuel oil going to the houses because they could use corn instead. But again, it's the system of them burning up our food base. They're already killing our bees off. Over 50% of the bees are gone, and they're saying they really don't know why. I'm hearing some of the things that their stomachs are being killed by some of the bacteria situations that they're creating in these genetically modified foods. And no one seems to be responsible. It's like, oh, well, it's a fact of starvation has killed more people than wars have ever killed. And they want to have 11 out of 12 of us down. So here it is, the initiation of we need energy, so we're burning up our food base. And so how many of those other incidentals are just happen to be happening right now? And, we're creating our own demise. And when everybody's just standing back on the sidelines again saying, oh, well, we watched Katrina, we watched Oklahoma City, we watched 9/11, we watched going in Iraq and Afghanistan wrongly. And the old Lord's going to let us watch us burn our food up so that we have nothing to eat and we starve to death, and we'll be standing there watching. So anyhow, I don't know. Have you got a comment on that, Deanne? I think I lost Deanne here. Anyhow.
You didn't. I'm still here. I'm still here. I was trying to... I was losing contact with one of the phones here, but I'm still here. But there's a lot of things going on where there is the alternative energy and stuff like that's available, and there's a lot of other things. Like, for instance, I know someone out here in the Illinois area. Actually, he's in Indiana, and he has a device that's a very small furnace, and it can heat a home for less than a third of the cost that it would be for a normal heating unit. It's a real nice device that anyone, if they had gotten it, would be able to use. But the thing is that this information is not allowed out there. There's nobody doing anything. There's cars out there that can run on water. They don't use that. The energy issue is very huge. But the thing, before we even can get to the the issue of energy, we have to get the issue of getting rid of the corruption first. If you have a corrupt state, they're not interested in energy. They're not interested in having things that are available to the public at a lesser cost. The more it costs, the more money they make. So until you clean up the things like the judicial system, the policing system, the powers that be that are connected through the politicians and those people that are industrially clouded that control things, you can't get anything done. Say for instance, you do have a unit that can that's energy free and this, that, and the other, but you have like a huge corporation or two or three of them that makes multi-million dollars a year off of creating and producing machinery that they know is going to be flawed to the level that you're going to have to pay more and more money for energy. Now, of course, if they know you have something that's going to throw their money and cash supplies, they're going to use every available force necessary, meaning they're going to go to their lobbyists, they're going to go to their connections to politics, because a lot of them are connected. They used to call it semiconductor through one corporation to the next. They have ties into all types of other types of business, opportunities through chambers of commerce and various other things where they have meetings and they develop their levels of clout. And basically, when this clout is unfolded and done, the little guy out there that has that unit that could get it out can't get it out because he's being blocked. Now, there's people out there that have created all kinds of beautiful levels of vehicles and cars, and some of them are missing. Some of them are presumed dead. They have done everything you can think of to make sure that there is nothing out there that's going to take away from their financial force. Now, when you find this corruption, you can see what they have done, and you know who the parties are, and you try to bring it forth in the court system, similar to the guy that had the issue of the cigarettes, bringing out the fact that cigarettes had things like formaldehyde in it and various other stuff. It was dangerous to the community, and he was trying to shut that down. Well, he, made a little bit of a stirrage and was able to get some press, but the little guy out there with that unit you're talking about isn't going to get anywhere because the system itself is so corrupt from the top on down. It's just like dealing with the devil himself, Lucifer himself coming up to him and try to hit him with a powder puff and hope he'd go away. That's how bad this thing is. So, First John, the whole premise of what we need to do is get people awakened to who funds what and where this money comes from in order for to get rid of the corruption base. Now, like Rita was saying before, we chased her down in the street and locked her up for 6 months. It wasn't clear what she did. It didn't sound like it was anything for 6 months in jail. But then again, like I told you about the boy that was staying in my home, 18 years old, just out of high school, hasn't had an opportunity to really get, his feet wet in being a person. Okay, who knows what happened if he did this, but then they said that at first I heard it was two cell phones that were stolen in the back of his car, a car that he didn't even really own. He was down in the police department. I went down there to check on him, and the police wouldn't tell me anything because police down there, by the way, in Hinsdale, they don't like me in the first place because I've been reporting things to them, and they haven't done nothing to investigate any kind of criminal activity such as counterfeit rings, mortgage companies operating out beauty salons, et cetera, et cetera. All types of criminal activity in the area. They ignored completely every time I brought them information of crime and fraud in the community. Nothing else and anything was done. And I took it to the state's attorney, secretary of state, everything you could think of to get these crimes heard, and they would not do anything in DuPage County, period, for me and investigate anything. So, and it got to the point that I had to leave this county and go into Cook County and go somewhere else to go and try to get things done. That's how bad this corruption is. Because, see, once you go after them, they come together like a big, huge rock. Because, they got all this strength together. And they, come after you and they roll at you and they try to attack you any kind of way. So they got FBI agents, CIA agents, policing. They will do whatever they do to take you down. Now, at one point, I don't know if you heard on this broadcast, but my phone started making a kind of weird noise, like that. That wasn't me. You know, who knows what they got pointed at me. This has happened to me twice already out here. And not inclusive to other sounds and various things they've done to me over the past 5-6 years since I've been involved with the Patriot community reporting things concerning 9/11. But see, this is the thing, John. If the people do not do like the guy called in earlier. He told me that there's a guy running in Zion. He said that this guy is against corruption. And I won't find out if he is. Like I said, I'm on the team. But if it's a situation that it's another one of these misnomers, I'm just as far away as possible, because the whole purpose of what I'm trying to point out is to awaken people to the fact that this corruption can happen to you. It can happen to your daughter, your son, your loved one, your cousin, your friend at work. Anybody could have been taken away and locked up like Rita, and they could have thrown the key away and you wouldn't have known where they were. And the thing is, that person didn't do anything. But then if you have a serial killer out there or some kind of other kind of nightmarish thing, they get off. When I was working in the court system, I told you the grisly details of this gentleman that was out there, and he happened to come home, and he was a doctor, and he was living, in fact, the same area where Christopher Bolin had this incident. He basically came home as a doctor and came home, woke up his wife and kids, and cut their heads off with a machete. Cut their heads off and put it on a mantelpiece and sat down, calmly called the police, and they came in and took him away. Anyway, he went to court on that, and they said he was temporarily insane, and they put him in Elgin Mental Hospital, and he was there for, I think, a year or so, and they said he was fine. And they were giving him his doctor license back. There was another case, going on where there was a guy that was in Cook County. Did the same type of thing, more grisly than that. He wasn't even in jail for a month. Let him go. Then another one, same thing. But, other people get 6 months in jail. Other people, the one guy, his wife, he was working at United Airlines. And he came, he got separated from his wife. He brought his girlfriend over there during the 4th of July. And she sat in the car. He went in there and killed his wife and put her in a drum. And he went and got his daughter and got in the car and drove off with her. And police came in there, found the wife in the drum and murdered. And he had wrote all this stuff in United Airlines computer and went to court. And the judge ruled, we can't deprive the child of her father. She doesn't have anyone else. So I don't know. I think he got a year in jail, something like that, if he got that. This is the way. What kind of court system does that? What's going on with, the law says if you do this and that and the other? What happened to that? How come, like I said, they could cohort something? You can go to court. The police can arrest you. You have no witness to anything that they do to you. You're set up. How can you unprove that you're set up? How can you unprove that somebody put something in your car? How can you unprove that somebody, coerces you? My son has been, harassed by the police out here. Being in other people's cars, not even his car, they have stuff in the car he don't know anything about, and they target him and give him tickets and things because he's who he is, my son. So how long is it that we have to go through these type of things? And it's not just me. Christopher Bolin won. We have Peeler, his son's locked up for life for, no forensic evidence, no weapon, nothing. He's locked up for, life sentence with no parole, no chance of seeing sunlight. And there's a bunch of other ones. There's another guy, Lester K. Coleman. He was a witness to the Flight 800. deal in Lockerbie in Scotland. He didn't see it go down, but he had evidence on that because he was a reporter, and he also worked for the DIA, I think his office, if I remember correctly, he was with. And anyway, they set him up. They put $50,000 in his bank account. My bank account, they only put $5,000 in. His case, he put $50,000 in him, and they grabbed him and put him in jail. In fact, the one that was involved with the conspiracy against Lester K. Foreman was my former employee, the employer that happened to be an attorney. Now, you go figure. This is what goes on out here, folks. You could be working in an office right next to you. In your office could be somebody working in a government undercover op agency. And you won't know it. Person you could be going to lunch with, kicking back with at lunch, and you think that they're a regular person. They might be FBI, could be CIA. You don't know what they are undercover. And if they don't like you, they might just set you up just for the purpose of setting you up because they had the clout and ability to do so. That's how dangerous this situation is with what we have going on in this government. Like, for instance, let's go back to Valerie Plame. Good example. Valerie Plame was working for our government and was sent over as an analyst, and she was the top in her field in regards to nuclear weaponry. She went over there, and she was dealing with this yellow cake issue with her husband. They've been on TV this last week talking about the major win in the court system. But the only reason that the major win came out because of the fact that you folks wanted it. People out here wanted the answer to that. And guess what? It came back as a conviction against Scooter Libby. And people are now asking, the grand jury asked, well, where's the rest of them? Where are they at? How come they're not in here? Why is this one guy here? Where's the rest of them? We're willing to take them on.
Well, they all sit at a roundtable talks to make these decisions. I hope we don't have single people up there just making decisions off cuff. And you know, it's pretty obvious that, President Bush and Vice President Cheney, and there's probably about half a dozen other people that are sitting around the table, and they decided to do what they did.
Yeah, but the thing is, they had to throw somebody out of a bone because they knew that the people were mad. They're running scared right now because, okay, in another few weeks out here in Illinois, there's going to be a big march out here in DuPage County, Illinois, on the issue of Iraq in war. They want our soldiers back. There's going to be a march out here in Illinois for that. I'm getting ready to do a huge one out here for POWs, the missing men that are women that served that are still alive. Now, once I brought that up, that's when all this stuff happened. Police are starting following this kid around. And, you know, the kid, by the way, this came out of his girlfriend's place. And he just happened to be walking down the street. And the police said, well, what are you doing over there? Now, one reason I know all this is because there was a person that had listened to a whole conversation because the kid had his cell phone on in his pocket. So, you know, it was coercion. All of a sudden, something that comes out, 2-3 items, now comes out a whole trunk load of stuff, and he's locked up, $50,000 bond, and he's calling nonstop here because he's scared. Just 18 years old. His parents don't give a care. They feel that he's 18, kick him out. You know, we need to deal with that. This is what's going on out here. If we don't all stand together, all of us are going to go down like this. And these kids are scared, and that's why a lot of them act out. Some of them have got all kinds of situations of bipolar and this and that and the other, from vaccinations, from every kind of damn thing that they have given them, you know, when they're first born. And now they're all mixed up and they have some problems. And we don't know how to communicate with them because how can you communicate with somebody that is given some kind of weird-ass drug when they're little and you don't know what's in it? Think of the people down there that were down in those states that had to give their daughters those vaccinations for cervical cancer, which now they're coming back saying, maybe that stuff isn't as good as they said it is. What about the side effects? They didn't say that when they were injecting those girls down there that were 12 years old, if there were any side effects. What are they going to do? Can we call them? Like a peanut butter? This is the thing, it's frightening out here. And then who's in charge of these pharmaceutical industries? There's a lot of them sitting up in the White House. Check out Funeral Gate. Look and see who was involved with that, sitting up in the White House. Look at the fact that you have Lilly Corporation. Look who's on the board over there. Look who's in the White House. All of them have fiduciary connections into corporations that are making huge amounts of money and killing off of our lives. They've got things on TV daily that say, don't take this drug, don't take that drug, because it's got all these side effects, and you already took it. And guess who gets paid in the back of their pocket? The folks that are sitting up there in the White House that you elected in, that you're paying out your tax dollars, that are representing what? Themselves. Now, where's the clergymen on this? Where are you guys out there that have the clergy role? This is Sunday, by the way. It's rolling into Sunday, wherever you might be. Maybe you're getting close to Sunday. Where are you? You're sitting there with a whole congregation of people. Are you talking to them about what's going on? Really going on? Because this is biblical. What we're looking at is biblical issues that are happening right now that come right out of the Bible and is sitting there right in your face, and you should be talking to your congregation and flock about it, because the thing is that the people are being duped by Herod again. And you don't realize it. Or maybe you do. And where, if you're not into this and you don't understand what's going on and you feel that everything is, you know, clear cut, this and that and the other, and it's not nothing going on other than goodness out here, then, you know, look around you and outside your church. What are you seeing out there? Do you see more people out there poor? More people coming to the church asking for help and asking for housing and helping, asking for this and that and the other. I wonder why. Is it because they can't make their means? Not because they're insane or crazy or on drugs or loony or anything like that. They just can't make their means. Why can't they make the means? Okay, what is it, a rocket scientist that will tell you that if you take all the major industries and all the corporations, all the money that you need to make in this country and throw it overseas, and they can't get to the jobs because it's somewhere else in an overseas market where other people are making money? Is that a rocket scientist to tell you that these people don't have money because there's no jobs here? And how about these kids, 18 years old, that are coming out of college and high school and various other places, and they go out looking for work and they can't find anything? There's a newspaper job list is down to 4 pages, like the Chicago Tribune. 4 pages. Used to be 6 sections of jobs. Now it's like 4 or 5 pages a week.
There's another thing. Can you pay to get there? I mean, you know, it's one thing to get a job. Does it pay enough to even be able to go to the job? I mean, if it doesn't pay enough to drive a car and you can't own a car, then how can you do the job?
And hey, then how can you afford daycare? If you got 1 or 2 children, how do you pay for that? If you ask for any assistance whatsoever, you're treated like a dog. How dare you ask for anything? I talked to somebody in a situation in Oklahoma City. She told me she went to see if she could get some food stamps, and they told her she could get $10 a month for food stamps. Those people didn't get any money for any of those atrocities that happened in Oklahoma City. Only thing, they said the maximum amount they gave them for a tax write-off, it was $9,700. One person got $20,000, only one. And they gave him about maybe $600 if you were really close to the area and got devastated. $600 to get furniture if your house was, under explosion. But food stamps, $10 a month? Now, I don't know what you all eat out there, but, you know, $10 a month ain't going to even hardly get you beans in the pot. That's what they were going to give to people in Oklahoma City. Who knows what they gave to people in New Orleans? They probably ain't even got no $10 even from the government. They cut them off and could have come back on to cover up because too many people were asking too many questions. But we got tons of food and stuff to send overseas when our people here are starving. You go figure. The point is, we have to have compassion amongst ourselves, compassion within our own community. We have to be compassionate to our neighbors. We need to be compassionate one to another. And by the way, you folks out there, policing agencies and those people out there doing the dirty work for the police and stuff, one day you're going to come and turn around and say to yourself, I need you. Meaning us, the public, because, you know, they're going to come for you next, because right now in the forest reserves, they got Russians and all kinds of other kind of people practicing, because they're going to be the new police, not you. They'll need you after you finish doing your little tour. So what are you going to do for what? Who's going to take care of you? You go run up to Joe the public out here, and you have violated them and twisted things around and lied and coerced and stuff, and people know who did what. And then you come running to them for aid, and you think they're going to turn their back and say, hey, I'm going to try to help you? I think most of them are going to walk away. What do you think on that, John?
Well, from what I'm hearing of the red, green, and blue labeling that they're going to put on all the American public, it's actually been done already. And when the WTO troops are initiated because of, you know, police state, some of the first ones to be taken out will be the certified people of ambulance in the police departments, because, number one, they're the ones trained to save people. They're the ones trained to have weapons and have the weapons. They haven't been confiscated and take away their infrastructure. And that way it corrupts the community again, because supposedly the community was protected by them. So there's a big arm of the law is taken out, or the big arm of protection is taken out. And so it's a point of war. They're going to take down the infrastructure first to annihilate the people, and they're going to be the policing agency. And they have a label, red, green, or blue. The red ones are going to be dead. The blue ones, I understand, can be retrained. And the green ones are the ones that they can use, and are the yes people that they can just put in positions, and they'll be the yes people again. But how many do they need? They don't want all of us. They only want 1 out of 12. And so where are you at, and what are your abilities? And because if you don't have the abilities, then you're a burden on the food chain, and you'll probably be called. They'll use you for body parts or something.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. I've been hearing rumors, too, that the military men, they're coming back, that they're not talking about their have died. They're using their body parts, you know, for, you know, people that need, you know, organs, organ donations and things like that. Have you heard some of the grisliest things I've been getting and hearing that have been going on with this Iraqi war? It's just, it's unbelievable. I even had talked to someone just recently in the police department out here, and there's a guy that's a police officer, had been over there for 3 tours. And basically they were getting ready to send him some coffee. They said they still need coffee over there. How the heck do they still need coffee? Where is all this money going? They had like $30 trillion, which I found out it was from $2.3 to $30 trillion missing out of the Pentagon. Nobody's asked about that, and nobody can find $30 trillion. Nobody can find it at all. It just vanishes and disappears in the thin air, and nobody looks for any of this missing money. But don't you think part of that $30 trillion out of the Pentagon could have gone for food and water and coffee and whatever they need for those men and women that are over there in Iraq? If I lost $30 trillion, I was working in government. What do you think they would do to me, John?
Well, I kind of wonder what the IRS is going to do to them. What's their tax bill on that?
Oh, that's an interesting question, but that will never be reported. That will never be heard.
That's just a phenomenal number. Can you imagine? Now, they say your heart beats approximately 2 billion times in your entire life. So that's like boom, boom, boom. You know, I mean, that's in your entire life of approximately, I don't know, I was like 80 years old, that you'll beat approximately 2 billion times. Now they're talking 30 trillion.
That's just a phenomenal, phenomenal number.
Yeah, and somebody says, go walk it out of there or wire it out, and nobody knows where it is. But then, yeah, they can use the Hubble and see the other side of the universe and know where everything goes on down on this planet and watch you in your car and watch where you go and where you do this. But then when somebody loses $30 trillion, nobody sees it. It just vanishes overnight, and nobody's held responsible. No accountability whatsoever. And then to make up those dollars, what do? Increase taxes. They'll go out looking for this money, and it's gone. So, you know, I just can't believe it. And another thing, folks, that got to me, too, I'm sitting out here, I'm watching, looking for my old pensions. I worked in these big corporations all my life and stuff. I go call them up, and they don't even know where my pensions are. Don't know where my pension, retirement money, they're still looking. They don't have the records. How the heck do they don't have the records? Where the hell did the records go?
They're telling you that you were employed there, correct?
Yeah, they know I was employed
there.
They
admit you were employed there, but yet they say they have no records of Social Security.
No records, nothing, you know, and that's the same thing that happened with Enron. And that's what I'm talking about out there. You know, you invest in these 401ks, you invest in this and that and the other, and then they lose the records or it's not there and stuff. You know, who's going to find out? And then if they go bankrupt or fold up and stuff, you think their money's somewhere else. Yeah, it certainly is. Because you know what? I don't know where mine is. What was the point? They could have gave me my whole amount of money and not taken anything out, and that would have been it. And that's why I'd rather do a 1099 employment thing than being bothered with being full-time employed, because the thing is, 20, 30 years down the road, company might fold up, whatever, and you know what? The investment dollar you put in there and stuff, who knows where the hell it goes? Because they don't even know where personnel records are. That's what the truth is.
They're in India.
Yeah, along with the medical records. That's what I was told, too. They said that they are now taking transcription for medical records in India. So when your doctor transcribes something in regards to your medical case, that is in India.
Well, that's where all of our deeds and stuff are for our homes and our land also.
Well, I hope a tsunami don't hit. We're in trouble, ain't we?
Well, didn't you if you have seen Gore's Inconvenient Truth, he says with the melting of Greenland and another spot as big as Greenland down in Antarctica, that would flood approximately 30% of India, and that was the mostly populated area. I think it was, I forget how many millions of people would be displaced. But are there records in all those places that they're going to be flooded? I assume they're more like down by the coast than they would be up inland as far as restorage. And so now you have a situation of, oh, we lost your records. I guess you don't own your land now. I guess you don't have any medical records or any insurance, or you don't have any licensing of whatever, you know. I mean, it gets so absurd, and they got this, like, dumb excuse they throw on this wall in our mind, and we buy it. I don't understand how we just fall over for a lot of their stupidness. Why would we store our records in India? Step one.
Especially court records. I mean, if you have to go back and you need the original record for a court hearing that you were involved in and you want to appeal it, you need the original court record, and they have it in India. So, you know, what happens if something happens to that record? You can't get it. And, well, how about the jobs that are created here with people here that would maintain the record? They got money to send this stuff over to India because they don't pay that much for those people to do the work there. But then again, it takes away from the people here having ability to work so they can afford things. How can you take away jobs and money and stuff like that and then put homes out, home sales for $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, and $1.5 million on up when the average income is getting lower than $20,000 a year? 40 hours a week, $20,000 a year. What is that going to get you in the house?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to take a language and learn Indian so that when I need to call them up to get my records back, I'll at least be able to talk to them.
No, they know English better than we do. That's the thing. It's amazing. You call up, and most of the people you talk to are connected into India. They can speak English better than we can. And you don't know, you know, you're talking to somebody, you think they're here, and they're over in India. You guys know what I'm talking about. You call them whatever. You get somebody from foreign countries answering the phone, and some of them are in prison because that's free labor there. So all they do is creating a whole new level of slaves. Slaves. I know about the process of slavery. I definitely know that, you know. But the issue is, do we want to go that route right now? Is this a part of this new world package that we're looking at? And then this ID card, too, John. This last week, there was a lot of protesters fighting against that because they're starting to install the new international ID.
Well, I see quite a few ads on it, and, you know, you can't, it's hard to go to, like, even Canada now without having your passport or whatever, and do we need to really have that? I mean, we haven't had it for years. What's so important now? I mean, the only terrorism we're starting is as our own government, as we're talking about, is not some unknown source. So, you know, the policing agencies and enforcing the terrorist, anti-terrorist bills are becoming the terrorists in their actions, and I don't know, it's sickening to me.
The terrorist activity has been a situation where they watch and monitor us, but we haven't been told who the terrorist is. Yesterday was Bin Laden's birthday. Bin Laden's birthday was yesterday, and they say he's still alive and kicking out there. That's what they were alleging. But wasn't that the guy we were supposed to be looking for with the World Trade Center? And now it got over to Hussein and went through all kinds of other loops and bounds. But, you know, we can't find Bin Laden. We can find it. We can look into this Future History Channel, Discovery Channel, or wherever, and they can find anybody on there. You know, okay, this guy did this, and he created this murder, and we were able to forensically check him out and find him this way, and they got supernova telescopes that look down and look at you in the car while you're sitting there driving and look at the speck on your nose. I mean, they got all that out, but they don't have none of that stuff available to find Bin Laden, who was allegedly the gentleman that did the World Trade Center. You know, that's quite interesting. But I think they don't want you to know about where Bin Laden is, because wasn't Bin Laden a CIA agent, an FBI agent, working, you know, living in Bush houses out there in Texas, Crawford, Texas? You know, and the thing is that I didn't know this stuff because I started researching all this stuff after what I saw out here with these terrorist cells running amok and stuff. And you go and take the stuff, the FBI, CIA, all these different agencies supposed to investigate stuff, and they say, we don't handle that. We don't do this. The funds need to be cut. Then they'll start handling stuff because then you're hitting them in their bread and butter. Then they'll start answering the phone. Then they'll start doing what they're supposed to do. They're not going to do anything, because why should they? If they're bad employees, they still get to keep the job. And if you decide you don't like what they do or say, you report to their supervisors and stuff. What does that do? They can't get out because they're government employed.
Well, I don't even think they want the money, because the scenario of where I've got approximately a $3 million lawsuit and it's going to go back in the community, but they don't want to see my money because I'm not part of the clique.
If you can put the money back in the community, that means that the people out there will have jobs, and those people that you're talking about giving jobs are the ones that are being geared up for the prison population.
Right.
So you're taking away their prison money, which means that they would get money for drops and this and clothes and that and blah, blah, blah. They've got this all systemized. And again, this whole umbrella of nightmare was created because we allowed it. Because every day that we wake up in the morning and we support this thing through our churches, our synagogue, through our, you know, clubhouse meetings, through our families, whatever, et cetera, it will continue going on because we don't have a grips of the fact that we are the one that finances all this.
Well, as we stand in the sidelines and watch it happen, we're going to stand in the sidelines and watch ourselves be, you know, starved to death. We're allowing it to happen.
And again, starved to death is a good question, equation, because you're a farmer. And you're a farmer we need. So do you let him starve to death with no attorney, no assistance, no help or nothing? Or do you help him? Do you find somebody in prison where their son's been locked up, like John Peeler, came forth, got information on all this stuff, and he tried to bring it forth and let people know what was going on, and his son's locked up? Do you not stand behind him and try to get his son out? Make a call to the governor nonstop and say, hey, what's going on? Why aren't you opening this case up, et cetera, et cetera? Because the bottom line is that could have been your kid. It shouldn't be like this, folks. It should not be this way. How about the little guy out there in the street that's got a couple kids? He's divorced, and he gets married again, and he's trying to pay child support, and the child support is over and above what he makes, and they're threatening him to put him in jail because there ain't no jobs out here paying anything, and he's got one order telling him 20%, another order paying 20%, and he don't have enough money just to even get back and forth to work. What kind of system is that? Or how about the Department of Human Services? Human means to be humane. Basically telling people that, you know, they're not going to pay for their medicine or they're not going to take care of the situation of being, you know, in homelessness or disparity because the agency doesn't have funding for that. But at the same time, the governor's sitting there talking about he's got more new proposals of programs that's supposed to help that agency out. But you know and I know, it's just fluff. We're responsible. I'm responsible. I have to look at myself every day because when I go out there and buy an item of good, I'm paying taxes, and the taxes are going right directly to the evil. Every time you go out and buy a soda pop, when you go out and buy a beer, if you get in the car and buy gas, all those tax dollars adding up go right into this corrupt system, and the system takes those pennies and dollars that you gave them and uses it and wraps around against you as a part of the corporation, because we all are members of the United States, which is a non-for-profit entity, and we're members of an incorporated state. So therefore, since we're incorporated, we should be treated as people that are on the board, not like we're outcast.
The situation is like the CED reports to where they've existed since the 40s is the WTO rulings. We aren't following the rulings of the Constitution. We aren't following the things that we think we're supposed to be following. It's so obvious. They've come out now with Agenda 21, which is just an extension of that CD reports, but they've been doing this for a long time, and we've been making laws according to what they want us to make laws for a long time, and just and delete, you know, they're not even reading new laws that they're printing up, such as the Patriot Act and stuff. They're just enforcing wrongness. And here we go again. You know, you've got the situation where we're able to show government coercion, government created lies and everything else. So now we have distinctly an extortion or a terrorist situation. And again, here we have the Patriot Act, which says you're not supposed to pay a terrorist organization. And so don't pay your income tax. Don't pay your state tax. They're coercing against you. They've used your own money to not enforce things that should enforce for you. And so where do you draw the lines of yes and no?
But if you stop paying your income tax, then they'll come after you. The only thing I'm saying is cut it off by going to the county board meetings and saying, hey, I got a petition here in my hand, and I got all these citizens sign it. We want you to cut this agency out, and we want you to cut their salary in half because they're not answering the phone. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. But if you can't get them out because they're all crowded, they're all got connections and ties. And the ones on there at the peon level that don't have connections and ties, those are throwaway people. They'll get rid of them, but the other ones in there, they ain't going nowhere. They've been in there generations, generation upon generation. Now, why do I know that? I'm in the heart of the neighborhood that sets that up as far as clout. Clout exists here in Illinois. So this was a prototype for every other one out there that you're looking at in your town and city, Chicago. Wow. But now the crowd is twisted into another level because, see, in a way, Chicago works well. But the Republican Party tried to mimic whatever they were doing. And the thing is, it's become a vast corruption. You remember when the Republican Party went after George, not George Bush, but Bill Clinton because of the Lewinsky sex scandal, and they thought it was so nasty and so base that he would do something like that? Now, have you looked at the scandals that they have had with the Republican Party up to now? Makes that look like a piece of cake, whatever Bill Clinton was doing.
Well, it's a little more understandable that he would chase a young lady that was beautiful as compared to a little boy.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know what to say about that because, see, I don't know, people should be up in arms about that. Totally up in arms about it, but it's kind of like, you know, oh, okay, we see that on TV all the way. You know, what the heck, you know, let's go to the next subject. But then again, there's a lot of people out here that are doing something, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. There are a lot of people marching right now, a lot of people gearing up for this summer because there's going to be marches all over the place, the Iraqi war, the thing I'm doing with the POWs. It's going to be march after march. There's going to be something on that health issue, too, situation with these hospitals. There's going to be march after march. Some people told me there's one that's going to get out there and going in regards to judicial corruption. March after march. Protest march, that is. So when they start seeing people hitting all the cities, hitting the pavement and stuff, you know, are they going to do something? I think so. If we go to each one of these things and set up petition drives and get signatures for everybody that's in these marches and put it right on the steps and say, hey, we got a million people here. These million people are saying, hey, we want you to get a special prosecutor there. And that's the only way I would come to them, too, is we want a special prosecutor because a special prosecutor then has to come in and investigate. Because giving it to the senators and the Congress to sit down and talk about, they ain't going to do nothing. They haven't done anything yet. But if you give it to them in a situation of a petition to look for or look into investigate fraud, criminal activities and stuff, you ask for a special prosecutor, then they have to sign one. And once they assign one, then that's when you can come to table with these people and talk to them about what is going on to try to straighten this matter out.
Well, I think if we stretched up a tape that we have a crime in action across their doors and close their doors down,
that's not
back. And as soon as their job stops, you wouldn't have to play all those stupid little games of, oh, we need an investigation. They would know.
Yeah, but that's not going to work because people have tried that. Nothing's going to work anymore. All the old school stuff from the 60s is dead and can't do it. You have to come to them the way that they know, and you hit them in their pocketbook. You cut the funding out for those departments through the counties. Go to the county meetings. You must go to the county meetings. If you go there, you got a time to speak. Tell them what you want. Explain what's going on. I'm going to, like I said, went to one last week. And every other one I'm coming in contact with, I'm going to those two. Because the thing is, I'm getting calls from people about child support. I'm getting the calls from people in regards to situations with trafficking. I get calls in regards to minorities being harassed by police, people that are in the patriot community, whistleblowers out there, ain't got one penny, one rat cent for an attorney. I'm going to every one of these damn county meetings out here where I'm at, and I suggest you need to do that, too, because my face is going to be all over the place. I'm not doing that for anything to support myself or to move myself up in any kind of way. I really don't care. The only thing I care about is the fact this got to change. There's got to be some solution to this, and anybody that's proactive out there knows what I'm talking about. If you go out there and you're proactive, then things change. If you sit there and talk about it, it continues and gets worse. I've been proactive all my life. My family had been, and I, my grandmother on my father's side, she sat there, and she was back in the 20s. She was African-American, and she sat there talking to the politicians of Chicago, trying to make it right for blacks. And my father, same thing, in Chicago, New York, and all over. So for me to sit there and watch this stuff happen, and I got kids and grandkids, I'm not going to tolerate it. And then also, if they come to my house and try to attack me in any kind of way and say I'm doing something, I'm going to go right back on this air, and I'm going to talk about who it is. Because the thing is, if I tell you that something is going on and it's corrupt, it is corrupt. And it needs to stop now.
Well, there's solutions. They just aren't doing any of them.
Well, the solution is that, like I said before, it's within our bound. We got to start standing up for ourselves. We got to stand up for ourselves. Well, to reflect on this broadcast, again, don't forget to move your clocks forward. And by the way, too, the FBI just recently came out and said they were sorry. They were sorry for some things that they were doing, misusing of the Patriot Bill in Act. They said they overacted. Do you accept their apology, Don?
Well, I've got that pro-intel law scenario on my wall, and I know how my farm was attacked, and I think I was just one of those guys because I was in a business that had an odor to it. So they didn't like me. You know, it's not that I wasn't doing good business or whatever or doing something that the community needed. It was a waste stream in the community. Someone had to handle it. And so it was an easy mark. They needed somebody to do covert activity against, and I think I was just picked out of a hat. Oh, here's a good one. He kind of isn't like, so if we do it to him, no one will really notice. No one will care. And it was an FBI activity through Cornell University.
And you know what? It probably was. And the thing is that the other issue was the fact you had a farm. And because you had a farm, you had land. And land, remember what they said in Gone with the Wind, is all that matters. So since you had land, they could see that, okay, if I force him off the land or bankrupt him where he can't function and isn't able to move or anything, we'll get the land and we can build another university and build this over here, make campus areas, whatever their plan is. You have land.
Right.
Well, and that's the danger right now. They don't want you to have land. You never own your house. Forget about it. It doesn't exist. You have no ownership of anything out here because everything is tied to usury laws and has attachments to it. Until we recognize the fact that if you buy a good and service, you should be able to own it. And you should be able to call of the police and have them protect your home. I had 58 police reports filed against the harassment against my family. And they told me I had to get 17 police reports on each individual that was reported as attacking my home. 17 per individual before they could do something.
Where's that?
I don't know. I couldn't find it in the books. That was in Cook County. I took it to sheriffs and police and everything. They just didn't do anything. And the harm was physically attacking my children, attacking me. Everything you can imagine is a nightmare. Anyway, we talked about this week, and next week I'm going to have some guests on, so please come in. Rodney Stitch is going to be on Truth Radio on Thursday at 6 to 7 p.m. So, love you guys out there. Peace. And we'll talk to you.
God loves you. God be with you. Good night.
Good night.
Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency.